Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 55, Chapter and Story, Chapter entitled The History of Prajumna. Text number 2 onwards. Saeva Jato Vaidabhyam Krishna Virya Samudbhava Prajumna Iti Vikyata Savato Navamma Pitu Saeva jato vaidarbhyam Krishna virya samudbhava Prajumna iti vikyata Savato navama pitu Saeva jato vaidarbhyam Krishna virya samudbhava Prajumna iti Prajumna iti vikyata Savato navama pitu Eva, indeed. Jarta, taking birth. Vardabhyam, in the daughter of the king of Vardapa. Krishna Virya, from the seed of Lord Krishna. Samudbhava, generated. Prajumna. Iti. Thus. Vikyata. Known. Sarvata. In all aspects. Anavama. Not inferior. Pitu. To his father. Translation of Prabhupada by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. He took birth in the womb of Vaidarbhi from the seed of Lord Krishna and received the name Prajumna. In no respect was he inferior to his father. Translation responsibly. He took birth in the womb of Vaidarbhi from the seed of Lord Krishna. And received the name Prajumna. In no respect was he inferior to his father. Text 3. The demon Shambhara, who could assume any form he desired, kidnapped the infant before he was even 10 days old. Understanding Prajumna to be his enemy, Shambhara threw him into the sea and then returned home. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that according to the Vishnu Purana, Prajumna was kidnapped on the 6th day after his birth. Text 4. A powerful fish swallowed Prajumna, and this fish, along with others, was caught in a huge net and seized by fishermen. The fisherman presented that extraordinary fish to Shambhara, who had his cooks bring it to the kitchen, where they began cutting it up with a butcher knife. Seeing a male child in the belly of the fish, the cooks gave the infant to Mayavati, who was astonished. Narada Muni then appeared and explained to her everything about the child's birth and his entering the fish's abdomen. Mayavati was in fact Cupid's renowned wife, Rati. While waiting for her husband to obtain a new body, his previous one having been burnt up, She had been assigned by Shambhara to prepare vegetables and rice. Mayavati understood that this infant was actually Kamadev, and thus she began to feel love for him. Report. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains this story as follows. When Cupid's body was burned to ashes, Rati worshipped Lord Shiva to obtain another body for Cupid. Shambhara, having also come to Shiva for a benediction, was recognized by the Lord first, who told him, "You should now ask for your benediction." Shambhara, struck with lust at seeing Rati, replied that he wanted her as his benediction, and Shiva complied. Lord Shiva then consoled the sobbing Rati, telling her, "Go with him, and in this very home you will attain what you desire." And in his very home you will attain what you desire. Thereupon Rati bewildered Shambhara with her deluding power, and taking the name Mayavati, remained in his house untouched. Omigyan Timanandasya Ginanjala Shalakaya Chakshun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So when we read these stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are a great test of faith, because they are either mythology, or they're true, and they're just super extraordinary pastimes. They have to be one or the other. They have to be just a myth, just a story, or they have to be the most amazing pastimes in existence. So you will take them either way. Right? Different living entities will take them either way. Some people will say, well, they're just mythology. It's very common these days. Even in India, which is the home of the Vedas and Vedic culture, these days, quite often, they say that these stories are just mythology. They say they're not true. But some people still accept them as being factual, right? Although they are super extraordinary pastimes like that. So whether or not you will accept them as being true or being false will depend on your faith like that. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, Adol Shraddha, which means spiritual life begins with faith. Now, that is the beginning of spiritual life. And Rupa Goswami explains that spiritual life goes through 9 stages like that. As for a devotee, we have to go through 9 different stages to get to perfection. Right? Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. These are the 9 levels. From the beginning of spiritual life to the very highest, most exalted consciousness that a devotee can have in spiritual life. So factually speaking, one of the ways that you can measure how much a devotee is advancing or how much a devotee is progressing from one stage to another is actually, it is all just increments of faith or shraddha, right? The more shraddha you have, or the more faith you have, right, in Krishna, in the internal potency, then the more advanced you become, like that. Just like the first stage is called shraddha, right? So then the second stage is called sadhu sangha, right? So when you have shraddha, when you have enough shraddha or more shraddha, then you seek out the association of sadhus, right? You want to be with devotees. That means you have more faith. And then, what do the devotees do? Bhajana Kriya. Or they engage you in Bhajana Kriya. In other words, they say, Prabhu, would you like to do some service? like that. And then bhajana kriya begins. You begin to perform devotional activities yourself. So in order to follow what the devotees are saying, following their instructions, means that you have faith. Your faith is increasing. Will you follow what they say? This is the test. Right? The first test is, do you take their association? Right? Requires faith. If you take the association, then will you follow their instructions? That requires faith. That is the test. Krishna is testing us at every moment of our spiritual advancement. So will you do what the devotees say? That is called bhajana kriya. And then that culminates in initiation from a bona fide spiritual master into siddhic succession. Right? Bhajana kriya means that eventually you will take initiation from the guru. So then once again, that's a test of your faith. Right? Do you have enough faith, right, to follow what the guru will say? Because whatever the guru says, you must follow absolutely. Right? There is no questions. Right? Prabhupada said, up until the point of initiation, then you can question. But after the point of initiation, then you must follow the instructions of the guru. Right? You cannot question. The guru says, do, you know, the guru says, bring me milk or bring me water. Right? You cannot say, well, you know, I don't know. Then you have to do. If that's what the guru is instructing, you must do it. Right? So that requires faith. Not that we cannot ask questions to the guru, but at the point of initiation, the questions must be submissive. Right? Of course, the questions are submissive before initiation also, but when you take initiation, you may inquire from the guru. The guru may give instruction, and then you may ask for clarification. There's nothing wrong with that, but the mood must be correct. So this all requires faith. Then, the next stage is called anatta nivritti. Anatta nivritti means you are giving up your anattas or your material attachments. That requires faith. Right? That means more faith is increasing. Right? Will you give up your material attachments for Krishna? Just like sometimes when we preach to people, we say, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then people say, well, how do I know? What is the proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How do we know that Krishna is supreme? What is the proof? Like that. So, how do we know? How do we know there's even a Goloka Vrindavan? How do we know there's a spiritual world? Right? Hands up if you're convinced there is a spiritual world. Convinced, to the core of your heart, there is a spiritual world. Right? The women have more faith than the men. The men are all like intellectual. They're like, you know, well, is there one or isn't there one? You know, it could be there, but then you know, like that. Women are very more simplistic in their faith, like that. So this is the this requires faith. Do we actually believe that there's a spiritual world, right? And spiritual life is not based on belief. Like, you know, sometimes you speak to people, you know, from different religions or, you know, people interested in spiritual life, and they say, well, that's your belief. Right? Actually, it's not our belief. We don't believe Krishna is God. Right? We know Krishna is God. Right? How do we know Krishna is God? It's based on experience. Spiritual life is experiential. Right? You have to be experiencing something. Right? I remember right back from as long as I can remember, I always believed in God. I always believed in God. There was no question in my mind. Even when I was, you know, I remember when I was 3 years old, 4 years old, no question in my mind there was a God. And I used to pray, you know, when I was 5 years old. So, you know, at night time before you go to bed, you're taught to pray. So, you know, you offer prayers to God, to Jesus and to God like that. So we pray and we know that someone is listening to us. You can feel, tangibly feel, right? So Prabhupada said this is the definition of faith. Unflinching trust in something sublime. Right? You know, you can feel Krishna is there. Right? You know. You know when you come before Radha Baba, you can feel Krishna is there. You can feel Radharani is there. You can feel Gaura is there. You can feel Nityananda Prabhu is there. You can feel it. That is experience. It's not belief. We don't believe that, you know, Krishna is there. Krishna is there because we can experience that tangibly. So this is the proof that he exists. So, but the point is, as Rupa Goswami points out in the Nectar of Devotion, that you cannot perceive him with your material senses. That's not possible. Right? Sometimes, you know, people argue, You know, if God is there, then show him to me. And then what would Prabhupada reply when people make a statement like that? Are you qualified? Or Prabhupada would say, do you have the eyes to see God? Right? You can say, you know, show me God. Prabhupada said, do you have the eyes to see? Yes, Prabhupada can show you God. But do you have the eyes to see? That's the point. So, you cannot perceive God with your material senses. That is not possible. It's not possible to perceive something which is spiritual with material faculties, with material abilities, with material senses, material mind, material intelligence. You can't understand him just like that. You have to understand him, right, through devotional or purified senses, through purified mind, through purified intelligence. Right? That's why Narada Muni says, Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. When the senses become purified by engaging in devotional service, then you can begin to perceive him. But you won't see him face to face until you're very pure. Right? Until you're almost completely pure. Then you'll actually perceive him completely. Just like many years ago, they had the 60 Minutes documentary. They made a 60 Minutes, like one of the episodes on the 60 Minutes television program, was on the children of Krishna. Hmm? Were you in that? You weren't? It was before your time. Yeah, it was back. It was back in late 70s, like that. Early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. So Ray Martin was doing the interview, right? And it was one of the most popular 60 Minute shows of that year. Yeah, at the end of the year, then everyone writes in and they say which was their favourite show, and it was one of the top three shows of the entire year, and they replayed it again because it was so popular. So I remember, you can see it, there's recordings of it somewhere. Korma Prabhu has recordings of it, I think. And on this video, Ray Martin is saying to the kids, and the kids are only 5 years old in the Gurukul, right? They're still very young, they're only 5 years old. And he says to them, who is Krishna? And they say, Krishna is God. And the kids are kind of, you know, they're five-year-old kids, so they're kind of half ignoring him. Yeah, they're just kind of like looking off into the fields, you know, just kind of like that. And, you know, he's trying to have a serious interview with them, and he's saying to them, so who is God? And they just say, yeah, Krishna is God. Yeah, and they're just kind of looking away. And then he said, can you see Krishna? Like that. And they just kind of look at him like, you know, look at him like he's... Yeah, these are five-year-old Gurukul kids, and they look at him like he's stupid, right? And they say, you need the eyes to see him, you know? You need spiritual eyes, right? They say, you can't see him unless you have spiritual eyes, right? Why? Because they have faith. Those children have faith. They're devotees, right? And devotees have faith. Krishna does exist, right? Radharani does exist, right? Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan does exist. Vaikuntha does exist. But do we have the perception of it yet? Right? We cannot perceive it yet, but we know it exists. So anatta nivritti means that as you go through the stage of anatta nivritti, do you have enough faith that Krishna will look after you? And do you have enough faith that your soul is meant to serve Krishna unconditionally, that you will give up those material attachments? Right? Because from a materialistic point of view, the devotees appear to be insane. Right? People think we're insane. Yeah, they think we're crazy. Right? And we are. But kind of in a nice kind of way. Right? We are crazy, we don't deny it. Right? But I'd rather be this kind of crazy than that kind of crazy. You know, if you're going to be crazy, who wants to be there? Their crazy is just crazy. At least our crazy is kind of pleasant, you know. Like that. So, we have our ways like that. But from a materialist point of view, the materialist looks at us and they think we are insane. Right? You give up so much. People say this to us sometimes. I remember my relatives, they used to say this to me a lot, my uncles and my aunties and my relatives, they used to say this to me a lot. They don't say it so much now because they can see, after being a devotee for a number of years, they can see actually, oh, I think this guy's actually got something. Yeah, now they're kind of going the other way. They won't say it so much, but they know that, you know, out of everyone in the family, you know, my life's the happiest, it's the most peaceful, it's the most content, even though I have less material things than them. But they can see that he actually has something like that. So they won't say that, but actually they can kind of perceive. But in the beginning, they just thought, well, I was totally crazy. Right? So they would kind of challenge like that. And they'd say, you give up so much, right? You give up sex life, you give up eating meat, you give up intoxication, you give up gambling, you give up going to the movies, you give up this, you give up that, you give up television. My God, how can you live without television? Right? You must be in a cult. Right? Like that. And then they say all these things. It's very funny because a friend of mine, recently I was speaking to him, and he likes the devotees. He's not like a full devotee, but he likes the devotees. And he said to me, he goes, oh, I just a few months ago, I brought this $2,500 plasma television, you know, 18 foot long, you know, plasma television. It wasn't 18 foot long, but, you know, they buy these huge screens, you know, like that, put on the wall like that. And he said, I've spent all this money and I was so excited and I brought the television and I was saving up for it and I got it. And then I realized there's nothing on television to watch. Right? That's the material world. That's the material world in a nutshell. Right? There's nothing on television to watch. Right? You spend all this money and then there's nothing. Right? There's nothing in it. That's the material world. Right? You put all this energy into it, right? And you have so much faith in it. Right? Because it's all shraddha, it's all faith. Like we have faith in Krishna, they have faith in Maya. Right, and they have so much faith in mine, but then when they actually get the package, there's nothing in it. You know? And there's no money, you can't get your money back. Right? And you're just frustrated. Right? And that's why everyone is frustrated in the material world. Right? Because you can't get any happiness out of it. So they look at us and they say, you look like you are insane. Because you work so hard and you sacrifice so much. And at the end of your life, how do you know that you will attain what you're actually trying to attain? How do you know? There's no guarantee. Right? And people sometimes argue with us. They say things like, no one has ever come back from the other side. Right? No one ever died and then came back and said, oh yeah, I went there and it was all like that. In fact, they sometimes say the opposite. Just like Kerry Packer. Died about 18 months ago. He was the richest man in Australia. He's about the 200th richest man in the world. And he had a stroke, a heart attack at one point in his life before he died. And then during that time he was clinically dead for 3 or 4 minutes. And then they were interviewing him on television and they said, so what happened? You died, you know, what happened? Did you see a white light or this or that? And he said, I'm here to tell you that there is nothing on the other side. Nothing. He said, I went there, there was nothing, and I came back. Like that. So no faith whatsoever that there is anything superior. So people, they think that we are insane, right? Because we put so much faith, right, in trying to achieve something, and there's no guarantee that we're even going to get it. But for a devotee, right, and this is what it means, this is what anatta nivritti means. This is where the test comes from Krishna. Are you willing to give up your material desires and your material attachments to attain something superior, to attain something higher? Right? And this is Krishna's test. And you'll see very advanced devotees, or devotees as they're making advancement, they give up more and more of their material attachments, more and more of their desires, more and more of their false ego, right? More and more of the desire for prestige, for honour, for respect, for followers, for wealth. Right? They give up all of these subtle attachments more and more and more, right? Because they're perceiving Krishna more and more and more. And that is the process of bhakti. Right? It works. Like that. And if it doesn't work, then we wouldn't be here. Right? We wouldn't be following. We must be getting something. And even the materialists, deep down, the materialists know it. Most of them, they know it. Just like I remember I was reading a biography many years ago before I became a devotee of Errol Flynn. Right? Who is one of the great Australian movie stars in 1950s, I think it was, or 40s, or maybe 30s. He became a Hollywood movie star, like that very famous man, like that, made a lot of money and so forth. I was reading his biography, and this is before I became a devotee, but I believed in God. And he said in his biography, he said that even though I achieved so much in my life, I was so materially successful and people loved me and adored me, you know, during one period of his life, and he had so much fame, he had so much wealth, and he had so much material sense gratification. But he wrote that, and he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He admitted that. He said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. He said, I can't believe in God. I just can't do it. But he said, I always felt that the little man on the corner who had faith in God had more than I did. Somehow, deep within his heart, they know that we've got more. And that's how we convince people. Right? That's how bhakti is actually transformed or transferred from one soul to another. When a non-devotee comes in contact with a devotee who's full of bhakti shakti, right, who's full of devotional energy, right, who's full of affection for Krishna, right, when they come in contact with that personality, they see this person has something. And just by seeing that person, then they become affected, right, and they also want to, they develop faith, or shraddha is implanted within their heart, and they also want to take to that. Just like there was one priest in Melbourne, who lives in Melbourne, his name is Father Ian Hunter. Right? He's very favourable to the Hare Krishna devotees. Right? He's a priest in Melbourne, somewhere in Melbourne. Annie Ruta Prabhu knows him very well, he's a good friend. So Father Ian Hunter, he comes to the temple sometimes, he comes in Janmashtami sometimes, like that. So he chants japa. I think he chants four rounds or something a day, like in the church, you know, when no one's around, he walks up and down the, you know, in the church chanting japa. Every day he chants, and sometimes in his sermons on Sunday, he quotes Bhagavad Gita. Right, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, one Hindu Bible, and they say like this, very similar to what we say in our Bible. So he has faith in Krishna, like that. And I remember he was here on Janmashtami many years ago, about 10 years back. I haven't seen him for a long time. I'm not sure what's happened to him. But I remember about 10 years ago, he was here on Janmashtami, and then it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, we were serving, I can't remember who was there, it might have been Burujan Prabhu or someone was there, we were serving them, he was having prasadam with the devotee, and he was, because he'd just been to the midnight aarti, when Krishna had appeared, and he saw Radha Vallabha at midnight, at the midnight aarti on Janmashtami, and he was saying while he was taking prasadam, he said, I've seen this before. He said, in some previous birth I've seen this. He said, I feel that this is not the first time I've seen this. This is a Christian minister. Right, who's not even supposed to believe in reincarnation. Right? He believes that he's in a previous birth, he's been in an aarti watching Krishna being worshipped, like that. So he became a devotee, right? He became affected by Krishna consciousness because he saw Srila Prabhupada at the Melbourne airport in 1975 or something for a split second. Right? Prabhupada came out of the airport, and whenever Prabhupada came out of the airport, back in the 70s, because the movement was quite different back in the 70s, then when Prabhupada would come out of the airport, there would be like 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 devotees having this wild kirtan, right, in the middle of the airport, right, with complete disregard for civilization as we know it. Right? Prabhupada would come out and then everyone would be offering, you know, full dandavats, and the non-devotees are just like, you know, just like, what is this, you know? People just jumping. You know, if you look in the if you look at the kirtans in the 70s, they were wild. You know, devotees just jumping, you know, like just going, no. In the airport, you know. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Like, just fully wild, like 100 devotees doing this. So Prabhupada came out, and Prabhupada would just come out smiling every time, you know. Because you could see the devotees were developing love for Krishna. Like that. So he was just in ecstasy. They'd see so many people taking to Krishna consciousness like that. And the non-devotees would be stunned like that. Sometimes it was described, I've heard some of Prabhupada's disciples say that when Prabhupada actually stepped out into, because, you know, these devotees would be going wild in the airport, and all the non-devotees, hundreds of non-devotees in the airport, they're thinking, well, whoever's coming out is obviously, you know, extraordinary. You know, who is it that's going to come out? So some of the Prabhupada's disciples would say when Prabhupada actually came out, right, the whole airport would stop. Like it was like everyone was frozen. You know, because they wouldn't say, who is it, who is it? And then Prabhupada would come out and they'd all see Prabhupada and they'd get purified by the darshan. So, Father Ian Hunter was at the airport and Prabhupada came out and the devotees were just going wild, right? And Prabhupada was moving across the airport and the devotees were just following him. It was just like a ocean, like a cloud, just kind of, you know, moving with Prabhupada as he moved across. And then for a split second, the devotees kind of, there was a part between the devotees, and Father Ian Hunter saw Prabhupada for a split moment, just for a second, lava matra, Right? It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu sangha, sava shastri koi, lava matra sadhu sanghi, sava siddhi hoi. You can get perfection just by associating with an advanced devotee for 1/11th of a second. It means like that, just a moment. That's a lava matra. So he just saw Prabhupada for a split second, and just seeing Prabhupada, he was struck. Like that. And then he took up Krishna consciousness just from that. So this is where Shraddha or faith comes from, right? It comes from the association of the devotees. It comes from the devotional processes. And by performing bhakti, sadhana bhakti, then we get inspiration more and more to give up our anattas, to give up our material attachments, to give up our material desires more and more and more. And then you move to the platform which is called? Ruchi, just before Ruchi. There it is. Just before.
Steadiness.
Yeah, what is that called? Nishta. Right? So you become Nishta. Nishta means you become fixed. You only become fixed in devotional service when the anattas are gone. Because as long as the anattas are there, then you cannot be fixed in devotional service. That's why we're not steady. That's why we're Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur describes in the Madhuya Kadambini that our devotional service at this point in time is called Anishta. Which means we're unsteady, we're not fixed. Right? Sometimes we're into devotional service, sometimes we're not into it. Sometimes we love chanting our rounds, sometimes we're just waiting to get them over and done with, right? Sometimes, you know, it's Anishta, it's not steady yet. And why is it not steady? Right? Because of anattas. Right? Because we have anattas in the heart, because we have material attachments within the heart, material desires within the heart. So nishta means when you get rid of all those, not all of them, but it means when you primarily get rid of most of your attachments, then you become very steady and very fixed in devotional service. Right? Imagine what it would be like, right, waking up one morning and not having your material attachments. Right? You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You just wake up one morning and you're like, my God. Like, I don't have any material desires. How easy would devotional service become? Right? That is called nishta. That's when you become very steady and fixed. And then when you get to that platform, then you can begin to develop ruchi. Real ruchi. Like the ruchi we have at the moment. Because at the moment we have some ruchi. Ruchi means taste. We have some taste at the moment. But it's not like the taste you get later on. Right? That ruchi is like you become intense. Right? In your attachment to Krishna. And that leads to asakti. Asakti means you become attached to Krishna. Like you are just like attached to him. You know, we don't have that attachment. Just like sometimes you'll see when devotees come in the temple room and offer their obeisances to the deities. You know, I mean, devotees do it in all sorts of states of consciousness. But sometimes you'll see devotees, they kind of come in, kind of breeze past Prabhupada, kind of, you know, offer their obeisances, don't even look at Prabhupada. Kind of breeze down here, kind of, you know, off the obeisances of God, and so I just kind of go to Brahma Balava, go to Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, get the Charanamrita, which is what we're really after anyway, right? Like that, and then out the temple. Didn't really even perceive that Krishna was there, factually. In your consciousness, you didn't deeply connect with Krishna. When you come before the deities, and this is something devotees have to practice from time to time, from time to time, you have to spend long periods of time with the deities. You have to make this a habit, like that, periodically. Right? If you can't do it all the time, at some point in time, you have to spend long periods of time with the deities, just gazing at the deities, right? Chanting your japa and just meditating on the deities. Right? I remember when we went to Jagannath Puri in 1994. And we went with Jagatarini Mataji and Umapati Swami and Bhakti Marg Swami and devotees, Radhacharan Prabhu. There's devotees from all over the world. There's about 60, 70, 80 devotees. And we went to Toda Gopinath Temple. Has anyone here been to Toda Gopinath Temple? Oh, you missed out, didn't you? You went on the train that day. You didn't see him, did you? Okay, so that means you have to come back. Like that. Who's seen Toda Gopinath? Like that. Toda Gopinath is one of the most important deities in our sampradaya, in our disciplic succession, because the deity of Toda Gopinath was given to Gadadhar Pandit. Right? And who is Gadadhara Pandit? It's Radharani. Right? Who is the topmost devotee? Radharani. So in Chaitanya Leela, who is the topmost devotee? Gadadhara Pandit. Right? So Lord Chaitanya, right, who is the topmost devotee, he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Right? He is to go and associate with Radharani, with Gadadhara Pandit. So Nimai, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhara Pandit would come together privately in a very secluded place in Jagannath Puri, and they would associate very intimately. And Gadadhara Pandit would teach Lord Chaitanya the mood of Srimati Radharani, because he was trying to taste Radharani's mood. So one time, feeling very pleased with Gadadhara Pandit, they were sitting on Chakatpava, which means they're sitting on one sand dune, which used to remind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Govardhan Hill. He reached into the sand with his two hands and he pulled out like a 6 foot tall deity of Krishna. Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, with his own hands, just pulled this deity out of the sand, just manifested like that. And he gave this deity to Gadadhara Pandit and he said, "You please worship this deity every day. Make this deity your Ishtadeva." And then he put his hands in the sand and he pulled out Srimati Radharani. Right? A black, because you always see, wherever you go in the world, you always see Radharani is always in whitish marble. You never see Radharani in blackish marble like that. Very, very rare. But he pulled out a blackish Srimati Radharani, and then he pulled out a blackish Lalita. Right? Radharani and Lalita. He pulled out and he gave them to Gadadhara Pandit. He said, "You please worship them every day." So every day, Gadadhara Pandit would worship Tota Gopinath. Right? This is Srimati Radharani's own deity. Right? Gadadhara Pandit's own deity, Tota Gopinath. So it's a very wonderful deity. And then, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, right, in his final pastimes, it is said, several accounts of when Mahaprabhu left this world. And the accounts say, there's several different accounts, the accounts say that Mahaprabhu was simultaneously in Jagannath Mandir and simultaneously in Tota Gopinath Mandir. Right? He was having a kirtan with his associates simultaneously in front of Jagannath and simultaneously in front of Tota Gopinath. And then like a lightning bolt, right, he chanted the names of Radharani and Krishna and he entered into the deities. That's how Mahaprabhu left his manifest pastimes in this world. So if you go to the Tota Gopinath temple and you give the pujari some rupees, then he will lift up the dhoti of Tota Gopinath, and you'll see on the knee there is like a white line, and instead that's where Mahaprabhu entered into the deity of Tota Gopinath. So the Tota Gopinath deity is very auspicious and very prominent and very important in our sampradaya. It's one of our most important deities, probably along with Rupa Goswami's deities of Radha Govinda and Jayapur, like that. So very prominent deities. And then Gadadhara Pandit worshipped the deities until he was very old. And then when he became very old, it was very difficult for Gadadhara Pandit to reach up because the deity is very tall and put the garland around the deity's neck. So then seeing that Gadadhara Pandit, Gopinath or Krishna, who was seeing that Gadadhara Pandit was having difficulty in putting the garland around his neck, Gadadhara Pandit walked in one morning to do Mangalati and Tota Gopinath was sitting down. Right, the deity was sitting down. Like that. And where do you see any deity of Krishna sitting? Right? There's no deities of Krishna sitting. So this deity is very special. Right? Radharani's own deity, Gadadhara Pandit's own deity, right? Given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, that Mahaprabhu entered into, who had such intimate pastimes with Gadadhara Pandit. Like that. So we were there in Jagannath Puri in 1994, and we were taking darshan of Tota Gopinath, and there was a lot of devotees there, maybe 40, 50, 60 devotees, and they're having a big kirtan. And then I was in very close. Jagatarini Mataji went very close to the altar, like that, very, very, like as close as you get before you go into the deity room. And Umapati Swami was there, and I was sitting very close to them, and some other devotees were there. And then Jagatarini Mataji, she was explaining to us as our guide in the holy dharms. Then she was saying to us that you should look at Tota, you should take darshan of Tota Gopinath for a long time, because this deity is very special. And she said that normally when you come to Krishna, when you come before the deities of Krishna, you have to bring a pot. Because you bring a pot And then according to how much desire you have, Krishna fills that pot up with nectar. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like when we come before Krishna, He'll give us so much reciprocation. Sometimes the deities reciprocate with us so much. Right? We get so much reciprocation from Krishna. And that increases our faith so much that we know that Krishna is there. Just like it is said that if you're looking at the deity, sometimes you're taking darshan, and if one of their brooches falls off, or their garland snaps, or a flower falls, or something like that, that's very auspicious. You know, it happens sometimes. You have a particular thought or a particular thing that you're praying to the deity, or something you're considering in your mind before the deity, and then that happens, and the deity is like giving you a reciprocation. I am here. I'm listening to your prayers. I will answer your prayers. Right, just be patient, right, and just have faith in me, and everything will work out. I'm here; I'll look after you, like that. So it is said that when you come before Krishna, you have to bring a pot, and you have to. And the more desire you have, Krishna says, "Yeyatamam prapajanti tamstatave bhajamyaham." The more desire you have to get reciprocation from Krishna, the more nectar He gives you into that pot. But Jagatarini Manaji said that when we go to Toda Gopinath, because this deity is so powerful, so special, that you go before Toda Gopinath, He doesn't just give you the nectar, He gives you the pot as well. You don't even have to bring your own pot. This deity gives so much reciprocation, right? It's He gives you the pot and He gives you the nectar in the pot. So she said, just look at this deity for a long time, take darshan for a long time. So we just sat there. I don't know how long it was, 30, 40 minutes or something, just taking darshan while the kirtan was going on. And we were getting so much reciprocation. So we have to make this a habit in our devotional life to come before the deities and spend time with them. Right? Because this will increase our faith. This will increase our connection to them. This will increase our relationship, our sambandha with the deities. Right? Because we're here in this temple to serve them. And devotees have to be very conscious of that. If you just come in and kind of just breeze past them and offer your obeisances in formality, then go out and get on with your service, which is the real important thing, right, then, yeah, so be it. But your relationship is not becoming as deep as it could be. Right? But if you become very entrenched in your relationship with the deities and very attached to the deities, right, just like if you go to Mayapur and you go to Vrindavan, sometimes you meet pujaris in some of the temples, in Jagannath Puri and in Navadweep and in Vrindavan, who have been serving the same deities for 60 years. Right? Who have been the pujari for that deity for 60 years. Right? You meet these kind of very old pujaris, right? And they're just blissful. Right? Just effulgent, blissful personalities, just waiting to give up this world, this mortal body, and enter into the eternal service of the deity. So we have to become attached to Krishna, attached to the deity. Right? And this only takes place if you develop a relationship. If you treat if you reciprocate with Krishna, or you approach Krishna in the right mood and become attached to Him and render services to Him. And that's why it's so important that when we take Brahman initiation, that we do seva for the deity. Right? It is not a... How do you say it? It is not a... What's the word?
Formality.
Yeah, it's not like a formality, right? It's not a formality or a... What's that?
Ritual.
Yeah, ritual or a chore, like that.
Trapping.
Say it again.
Trapping.
Trapping, yeah, if you want to take it that way. It's not a trapping. It's not a, you know, it's not something that we do because, you know, we have to do it, right? It's not an obligation, right? It's... It should be like our prana. Prana means it should be like your life. Right? It is to give these deities pleasure is the greatest pleasure. Right? To make garlands for them. Don't just make a garland, make a beautiful garland. Right? Just like you saw Stana Mantri. Stana Mata. She's not here? Oh, she is here. Okay, so I have to embarrass you. So you saw the way she dressed Radharani yesterday. Right? It was beautiful. Beautiful. The way Radharani was with her beautiful... long braid coming down, and the gopi dots around her eyes, so beautiful, right? She put effort into her service. She didn't just go in. Sorry, son. She didn't just go in and do it out of obligation, right? She did it with bhakti, right, with devotion, right? And that's how Krishna should be served, right? You cook the offering for Krishna, you cook the best offering for Krishna. You cook the milk sweets for Krishna, you cook the best milk sweets for Krishna, right? You make the garland for Krishna, you make the best garland, right? You sow the sets, you sow the best sets, right? You grind the sandalwood for Krishna, you do it the best, right? This is the mood in serving Krishna. And if you treat Krishna like that, with great faith, this is a test of your faith and your bhakti and your love, right? If you treat Krishna like that, Krishna reciprocates so much. And then you know he's there. And you know that when you leave this body, you'll go back to him. No doubt whatsoever. Right? But it all depends on how we reciprocate with Krishna. Right? So that's what bhakti means. Bhakti means, what is the mood in which we are approaching Krishna in? Right? So, So bhakti, as we said in the beginning of the class, it is all a development of faith, right? It is all a development of our mood of surrender and devotion to Krishna, right? And this will be tested over due course of time, because when we hear these pastimes, they're very amazing, right? They're very extraordinary. So as we said in the beginning of the class, they're either mythology or they're real. For a devotee, they're perfectly real, right? Just like there was the one story of Narad Muni. Narad Muni was on the way to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan, and he passed by the cobbler and the brahmana, right? And the cobbler said to Narad Muni, "Where are you going to?" And Narad Muni said, "I'm going to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan." So he said, "Can you please ask him when I will come back to?" Because he was a devotee, the cobbler. Cobbler means he makes shoes like that. So he made shoes, but he was a devotee. So he said, "Please ask Lord Narayan when I will come back." He said, "Okay, I'll ask him." So then he went past the brahmana, and the brahmana said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan." And he said, "Can you please ask him when I will come back to Godhead?" He said, "I'll ask him." Okay. So then he went to Lord Narayan. And he said to Lord Narayan, "The cobbler and the brahmana have both asked me when we will come back to Godhead." Like that. And then Lord Narayan said, "You tell them that tell the cobbler he will come back to me very soon. He'll come back to Godhead very soon." And he said, "And you tell the brahmana that he will come back after many lifetimes." And Narad Muni was, very curious. He was like, "That's a very curious answer. Interesting, the Lord has said like that." And he said, "And tell them when you go back to see them on earth, then they will ask, what was the Lord doing? And tell them, I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." Right? So then he went back to earth. And then he came to the brahmana. And the brahmana said, "Did you see Lord Narayan?" He said, "Yes, I saw Lord Narayan." He said, "Did you remember to ask my question? When will I come back to Godhead?" He said, "Yes, I asked your question, but the Lord said you will not come back for many births." And the brahmana was shocked. He said, "But I'm doing so much penance, so much austerity, so much jagya. I'm giving so much charity. I'm doing everything correctly, all the rules and regulations. Right? What was the Lord doing while you were speaking to him?" He said, he had an elephant. He was putting it through the eye of a needle. And the brahmana said, "That is impossible." Right? So then Narad Muni understood. Right? Faith was not sufficient, so he can't go back to Godhead. You can do all the devotional rituals, but if the faith and the bhakti is not there, you don't go back. So he went to the cobbler, and he said to the cobbler said, "When will I go back to Godhead?" Like that. And Narad Muni said, "You will go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime." And the cobbler began to cry, tears of ecstasy. Right? He was feeling, "My Lord is going to bring me back at the end of this lifetime." And he said, "And what was my Lord doing?" His voice was choked. He had love for Krishna. He said, "What was my Lord doing?" And he said, "He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." And he said, "How wonderful. How wonderful. Oh, how wonderful." Like that. So this is the mood. So if we go into this mood, then we can go back to Krishna's pastimes. Right? But if we doubt in our heart, if there's any doubt, that Krishna can do all these things, because these pastimes are amazing. Right? Prajumna, who is Krishna's son, who is actually an incarnation of Krishna, he's actually one of the Chaturvyuha. He gets stolen at the age of 6 days, thrown into the ocean by a demon, swallowed by a fish, right? Caught by the fisherman, taken to the same demon's palace, cut open in the kitchen, the baby comes out, right, and everyone's surprised, you know, there's a baby in the fish, right? The baby is given to Rati, right, who is Cupid's wife, right? The baby is given to, who is working as a maidservant in the kitchen, and she recognizes this is Prajumna, this is my husband, and then Prajumna grows back to his normal size, and they get married, they go back to Dwarka, right? And then they enter back into Dwarka, and then he's accepted back into the family in Dwarka. Right? This is far out. So if you don't have a lot of faith, you're not going to believe all this is possible. Right? So you have to have faith. What do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the material authorities, or do you have faith in the spiritual authorities? Because they say exactly the same thing as we say. Right? We say in our stories that babies come from fish. Right? They say in their stories that babies come from monkeys. Same thing. Right? Same thing. Right? They say to us, well, your ideas are very far out. And we say to them, well, your ideas are pretty far out too. You know, you think that, you know, monkeys were just like, you know, swinging around the trees one day, and then one of them swung across the tree and a human dropped out and fell on the ground and walked off. Right? And his name was Adam. Right? And then the female human that dropped was called Eve, and that's where it all started. Right? And we have to believe that. Right? And if you don't believe that, then, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand? The scientists said it. Like that. So either way, you're going to have a lot of faith. Either way, but take your pick. Right? Do you want to follow the materialist's authority, or do you want to follow the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, our parampara? So we want to follow this authority. Because if we follow this authority, at the end of life, we go back to Godhead. But if we follow that authority, at the end of life, you just take birth again. And you don't want to take birth again, because the world's not going to be very good next time around. Right? The world's already not so good this time, but I guarantee next time you come, it's going to be a lot worse. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments to discuss.
I thought Giradhara found it with me.
In Krishna's pastimes? I'm not sure. Not sure. Satyabhama is Jagannanda Pandit. Rukmini, I'm not sure. But it's all the commentaries of all the acharyas. I've never even heard that that Gadadhar Pandit's Rukmini. I've never even heard that. Yeah, it's not mentioned like that. It's mentioned everywhere that it's Radharani. Like that, so. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Mother?
Just a little comment about this point of taking darshan for years. Govind Maharaj is making a nice point about this, saying that very often when we look at the deities, we consider ourselves as the seer and Krishna the object that we see. But actually, in actuality, it's the other way around. That we are the object to see and Krishna as the seer. And according to our devotion and our service, we get Krishna's attention, and Krishna sees us. And then according to that, he gives us the eyes to see him. You know, so it's kind of quite a different way of seeing things, that, you know, that actually we have to be seen by the Lord, that then we get the real darshan.
Nice.